I have no secrets that I'm trying to keep. I have no truths that I'm trying to hold. I have no keys I'm trying to hide. I have no doors I'm trying to keep locked. I want to keep always transparent. I believe that anything I know that's worth knowing, I ought to share it with everybody who needs it. Across the country, people oftentimes say, Dr. Hiles is so free to share. He doesn't keep any secrets. Well, to me, that's the silliest thing in the world. I'm not here in this world to uniquely be blessed of God. I'm here in this world to try to give every secret I know to being blessed of God, so that other folks can be blessed of God and used of God. I wish there were. I'm not trying to. Somebody said, well, that fellow preached my sermon. Well, I'm always delighted when folks preach my sermons. I always plan to tell Mr. Spurgeon thank you when I get to heaven. But that never bothers me. Somebody said, you know, he stole your alley. I was preaching down in Arkansas not long ago. A young preacher got up, preached my sermon on the raising of Lazarus. I mean, word for word. He forgotten where he got it. I come think of it, I've forgotten where I got it too. But remember, I preached years ago a sermon on God's part, man's part, God's part, man. He had the same outline and same illustrations. I was preaching with a famous preacher, not long ago, a few years ago, and he had my sermon on to be like Christ. We are like him positionally. We shall be like him prophetically. We should be like him practically. And under those points, I have three or four. He used every one of them just like I had them. And somebody said, Dr. Tiles, isn't that your sermon? And I said, yes, sir. It's my message. And he said, well, doesn't that upset you? I said, no. In the first place, he out-preached me. He preached it better than that. I know a preacher, a famous preacher, who got my sermon on, what's the title? About the eyes. I've forgotten. But he preached it. He liked it. He got on tape, preached it. And then the sword of the Lord had a contest. And he said to his secretary, he said, look, take one of my better messages and type it up and enter it. Now, young lady, sit up straight and put that pencil down now. I want you to hear me. That's best for you. And so she chose that sermon and put it in the sword of the Lord, and he won the prize with my sermon. And then they put it in the sword of the Lord, published it. My sermon. He made money off that stupid thing. And next time he saw me, I never had anybody repent in as much sackcloth and ashes as he did. And but you know, that doesn't bother me, because anything I know, if I know it, I sure do want everybody to know it if it's worth knowing. And I'm going to bring you this morning into a little truth. No, there are no little truths. A big truth that may help you. So listen carefully. The Lord said he's going to destroy Sodom. And he said, before I do this, he said, I better tell Abraham. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing that I do? I love that. Lord said to the angel, said, I'm going to destroy Sodom, but said, look, I better talk to Abe about this first. Check on him, see if he thinks it's okay. And I'm not going to hide it from him. I'm talking to folks this morning that don't understand the Bible. The truths of that book are hidden from you. I'm going to show you this morning how it can come alive. I'm talking to folks this morning that are hunting for the will of God like you hunt for a black cat in a dark room, painted black, that isn't there. You're groping for the will of God. How can I find the will of God? And the truth is, I'm going to show you this morning how you can find it just like it. God will take the will of God and say, I'm not going to hide it from you anymore. I'm going to let you know what it is. I'm going to take the word of God, and I'm not going to hide it from you. I'm going to give you truths you've never seen before. I'm talking to folks this morning that are begging for wisdom. And you will drive miles to talk to somebody you think has it. And I'm going to show you this morning how that you can have it yourself. I'm in wisdom. I'm talking about, if I have any wisdom, I'm talking about the same wisdom that anybody can have. Or I have, anybody can have. I'm going to show you this morning how to get it. God said Abraham, about Abraham, he said, I'm going to go down and tell him I'm not going to hide it. Now, here's why God didn't. For I know him, I like that, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. God said, I'm not going to hide this thing from Abraham because I know one thing. Abraham will take what I give him and use it to pass it on to somebody else. I'm talking the first this morning about God will not hide his word under certain conditions. You know, could I say this, and please do not misunderstand me, and I want you to hear this so carefully. Doc, in some strange, marvelous way, God has, I hate to say it, it's almost too sweet to say it to me, but in some strange and marvelous way, God has opened this book to me. Now, the truth is, you know, I got a letter the other day from a theologian. I mean, a fellow who spent his whole life just studying. I mean, he knows the Greek and the Hebrew and the Latin and the dog Latin and all of it. He knows it all. And he's a theologian. And not a soul, not a pastor, not a hellfire brimstone preacher. A soul winner, the kind that usually wouldn't like me. And he said, Dear Dr. Hiles, I read your book, Meet the Holy Spirit. And he said, I hate to tell you this. I've always thought of you as being sort of a, how do you put it? What's the word I want? Stay out of my preaching, John. Shallow. Yeah. He said, I've always thought of you as being a little shallow. But he said, I read your book on Meet the Holy Spirit. And he said, I have to tell you something. He said, I found truths I've never found in anybody's book or commentaries in all of my life. He said, I want you to forgive me because I thought you were shallow. I jotted a little answer on the airplane to him longhand. I said, don't feel bad. I think I'm shallow too. And agree with you. But he said, I want you to forgive me. Now I'm saying, he said, Brother Hiles, what's the secret to it? Some spend more hours than I do. And many have better minds than I have. And some are more spiritual than I am. Then why does God say, I'm not going to hide? Listen, there are truths in that book you won't find until you've read it 10,000 times. I mean, you can read the same verse and over and over again. And listen, that verse, every verse in that book is so full of jewels that you will never, never exhaust the truths of the Word of God. And yet, some of you folks never get a one of them. Why? I'll tell you why it is. Because I've turned it all into practical help. You know where I got this sermon? I got this sermon standing right there the other day while I was passing the Lord's Supper tray. And I said, that's it. That's it. The fellow beside me took a tray from me and passed it on. And took a tray from me and passed it on. And took a tray and passed it on. And I almost had a spell just watching that dumb guy pass those, that juice and bread. I mean, that's it. I mean, you take it and you pass it. And ask the question, suppose today that you were giving food to a family that's poor. And you went over to the house to take the food, and they said, come on in. And you said, have you enjoyed the food? They said, come on in here. And they showed you all the food you'd brought them, all stacked up there in the cupboard. I mean, there it is. They've been saving it. And you'd said, look, have you been eating the food? No, I've been saving it in case the Red Depression comes. Would you take any more food next week? No. And God's not going to keep giving you this book as until you start doing what I try to do, and that is I turn it. All of the truth that God gives me from this book, I turn it into practical usage and practical energy and pass it on. And God says, I want my word taken and passed on in a practical sense. And God says, hey, Hiles, have some more. Have some more. And that's why a lot of people do not know the deep things of the Word of God, and it's because they do not use in a practical sense. Hey, don't write this down. Look at me. I've got something to tell you. This is not a seminary class. This is preaching time. Anything I hate, some preacher boy, be writing down a bunch of notes while I'm preaching. You sit up there and get your gizzard blessed while I'm talking to you. I mean, look. God wants to give the truth from His book. But God can't find anybody that won't store it up. Now listen to me. I pass out in a practical sense the truths that God gives to me from this book so you can use them in your life. And then not, listen, food on the shelf is not worth a dime. It's food in the stomach. It's what's good. I mean, God said, I've got some deep things in my Word. And you say, Lord, won't you reveal it to me? I'll tell you why. You don't use what you've got. And every truth that God gives me, I turn it into practicality. And I say, this is how you can use it. We don't need to learn about the theology of prayer. We need to learn about prayer. How to get your prayers answered. It's not all about prayer. It's not more about Jesus would I know. That's not it. That's not it. Unless you learn more about Jesus and you take it and use it so other people can be helped and encouraged. That's what it's all about. It's not the truth. It's the truth turned into energy. And God says, I'm not hiding my word. You know, there's something also here. God likes to talk about His deeper truths when He can find somebody who can absorb them and use them. I told you this. I was on the airplane one day and I got one of the thrills of my life. I looked over and this lady across the aisle, me reading Blue Denim and Lace, my book. One of them. And I just watched her. And she's scratching her head a little bit. And I slipped over and I said, you like that book? She said, I can't understand it all. And I said, my name is Jack Hiles. I'm telling you, the hinges on her neck squeaked as she turned and looked at me. She said, you mean you're... I said, yes, ma'am. I mean, I'm... And she said, a certain chapter I'd like you to explain to me. And I said, there's a certain chapter I'd like to explain to you. She said, which one are you talking about? I said, whichever one you're talking about. Because I wrote the book and I love it. It's my heart. Somebody said, read the Hiles Church Manual. You'll read my head. Read the Malaysia, read my heart. And so we sat there and I enjoyed it. And I said, I don't want you to know that. No. And she absorbed it and she loved it. And I said, I wish I had all day just there and tell you what I meant when I wrote the book. Sometimes the Lord looks around and says, I wish I could find somebody to love it. If I could find somebody to read it enough and find somebody to love it that could absorb what I have written in my book, I'd give you stuff you don't know is there. I was on an airplane flying down south to preach a few months ago, and I saw a truth I'd never seen in my life before. And I said, hallelujah! And the fellow beside me said, what did you say? And I said, hallelujah! He said, what do you... I said, I just found out something about a verse I've read 10,000 times. Something I've never known before. God says, I want to give it to you. Oh, I hunger for a people that love the Word of God. I hunger to pastor a people. Oh, a while ago, that song, there is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. And the tragic truth is most of us don't spend a minute a week there. Miss Colston was playing a while ago. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. That part that says, crown Him Lord of all. And I just sat up here and I said, I wish my people would listen to that. I hunger for you to quit sightseeing when you go to church. I hunger for you to love the songs of God. We're talking about pastor school this week, and a little group of us are meeting about pastor school, picking out some songs for the groups to sing. And this ghost will tell you, I was quoting one of the songs, I got all choked up. And I long for my folks just not to sit there and think about everything under the sun. I long for you when we sing, "Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. Majestic sweetness sits enthroned upon the Savior's brow. His lips with radiant glory is crowned. His lips with grace o'erflow. His lips with grace. Come, thy fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be." And there you sit this morning today, looking around. You ought to be saying, "Thank God for the goodness and the grace of God. And I long for you to get the book and live in the book and love the book." God has some blessing. You sit there and read those dumb magazines and watch those stupid television programs and listen to some stupid radio programs and some dirty music when the eternal, blessed Word of God, a coffer full of eternal jewels, is right there in your living room and you never take time to read it. And the reason you don't is because when you learn some of it, you don't do anything with it. Just store it in the cabinet. By the way, there's something else that God has for you. That's, He says, "I won't hide it from you," and that's the will of God. The will of God. May I say this? I've never found the will of God real hard to discern. Never have. You know why? Because I do the will of God when I find what I'm supposed to do. You're not going to find the will of God sitting there with God's money in your pocket this morning. No way you're going to find the will of God. You're not doing the will of God now that's written in the Bible. And you'd get more concerned about the will of God that is printed than the will of God that's not printed than God would give you His will that is not printed. Spend so much time. "Oh God, what's the will? I've got a book that'll tell you His will right here." I long for my folks to be spiritual. I long for my folks to come to church on Sunday morning and say, "Preacher, let us have it. Preacher, pour it out. Preacher, we want what it is." And the song leader, the choir sings a special song. I long for our people to sit out there and look. I was thinking a while ago, Miss Colston, how thankful I am that Mama took me to church when I was a little boy. I wonder how many thousands of songs are stored in this brain of mine. You can hardly play a song I don't know the words of. I don't sit there and say, "Isn't that melody pretty?" No, not me, buddy. Not me. And we don't sing the songs and I'd libly sit up here and say, "Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where from cleansing from sin I cried." Not me, buddy. "Down at the cross where my Savior died. Jesus died. Glory to His name." I mean, the will of God. God said, "I have something that I have to hide. I don't want to hide it." God said, I want to reveal my will to you." How do you get your view of it? Simple. Do all He's told you to do. The Hiles Anderson College young men that spend their time soul winning, bus building, and so forth. When they graduate, they don't have big time finding the will of God. You know, when I got out of college, Doc, I didn't have to seek where to go. I had to try to figure out where not to go. There's been places I wanted to go. I mean, God hasn't been having trouble revealing to me His will. God has told me stopping doing it all. Why? Because when God, listen, when the difference is this, if we'd be more concerned, less concerned about being in the will of God and more concerned about doing the will of God, then we're more concerned about where than what. Where should I serve? Fully on that. What should you do? Where is important, but the what is so important. And God said, He said, I'm going to do something here, but I'm not going to hide it from Abraham. And God has truths in this book. He won't hide from you if you take them and use them. It's like the Lord's Supper. Take it and pass it and take it and pass it and take it and pass it. And it just goes back to that old illustration I've used so much. I want to use it again now, and I'm going to show you the secret of the Christian life again. And this is it, and this is the reason. Everybody here that's not happy this morning, I'm going to show you why you're not happy. Everybody who is happy, I'm going to show you why you are happy. It's the old secret. It's this. That's what the guy did, the Lord's Supper. You would never find a more confused man in your life than that guy kept all those Lord's Supper trays. I mean, here he is. That's exactly what you're doing. You're sitting out there taking and never giving. And that's why you're like the Dead Sea. You're not worth anything to anybody. Why? Because God gives you some truth in the Word of God. You just store it in your head. And God tells you His will. You're not concerned about doing it now. How about tomorrow? Where should I go? I long for some Hiles Anderson College senior to come to my office and say, "Brother Hiles, would you help me to find the will of God while I'm here? I mean, boy, some fellas register on Thursday. And on Friday, they register on Thursday, and on Friday, they come to my office and say, you think I ought to be an evangelist or a missionary? I think you ought to be a bus captain. I mean, God said, I've got some things I want to reveal to you. I don't want to keep them hidden. God said, I've got an inexhaustible source of supply in this wonderful book. But God said, if I give you some blessed truths from the book, and you store it, and store it, and store it, and store it, I'm not going to give you anymore. But he said, if I can find a man, it'll take the truths I give him and turn them into practical energy and give them to people, I'll just keep on letting him find these great truths. And I say again, not only does God not want to hide His Word and hide His will, but God does not want to hide His blessings. God's so good to me. I was a young boy. I used to sit in a little shack in Texas and watch that little round wood stove get red on the side. Hear my mother cooking some few biscuits of what little flour she had. She'd save some bacon grease so she could make some, put some flour with the bacon grease and make some gravy, because that's all we had. And we'd have a biscuit apiece and some gravy, and I'd watch the heat of the stove. And I'd look at the little shack and look at the outhouse out in the backyard. I used to sit there and watch that stove get hot. And I used to say, someday, I'm going to make $1 million. I'm going to make $1 million someday. Well, I'm 56 years old. Almost $200 million have passed through these fingers. You see what I said? Passed. Passed through. I made my million. Another million. Another million. Another. Another. My books have sold over these years for over $25 million. And not one red cent of it has stuck in these hands. And as sure as I start stacking it up, God will say, that's it. You got enough for yourself. Oh, I'd miss the answered prayers. Somebody gave me a guaranteed income myself. I'd miss the answered prayers. I'd miss the nights of saying, God, you're going to have to help me now. I'd miss that. You want the blessings of God. I'm talking about God said, I've got some truth from the Word of God that I'm going to hide from you. But He said, I won't hide it from you if you'll take it and use it. And he said, I've got my will. I want to show you my will, and I'll give it to you if you'll do what I've already said. And I want to give you some blessing, but I can't give them to you because you don't ever share them. Years ago, the parable of the talents gripped me. I looked at that story about the parable of the talents. God said He gave one fellow one talent, one fellow two, one fellow five. These fellows came back, and one fellow said, I got 10 now. God said, good, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and make you rule over many. One fellow said, I had 2 talents, I got 4. And the Lord said, good, thou good and faithful servant, faithful over a few things, so they can rule over many. And the one fellow said, I got 1 talent, but I still got it. I buried it. I spread it, lose it. I know you're a hard taskmaster. And God said, take that talent from him and give it to the guy that has the 10. And I, years ago, got this little thought. You know, God plays the stock market. A young preacher came not long ago and said, Brother Hiles, he said, why don't I have a Russell Anderson? By the way, Maxine's up there this morning. Glad to have her. Why don't I have Russell Anderson? He came to see me. He came 150 miles and said, I want Russell Anderson. And I said, let me ask you a question. If you were God, would you invest in your work or this one? Stan, if you were God this morning, would you invest in a little church one in 40, South Chicago, or would you invest in Dr. Lee Robertson's? I'd want some dividends on my. So yeah, my father-in-law, before he died, sort of lost his mind. That got pardon in the arteries, in the brain, sort of like Dr. Evans has, and he got hardened in the arteries, and he got a little cuckoo, not crazy, but he thought folks were following him. Now I know folks are following me, but he thought folks were following him. And you know, funny thing about it, after he died, we found out he'd invested about several thousand dollars on a trip to the moon. Somebody had sold him some stock. We're going to take a trip to the moon. And bless his heart, that investment. You know, let me ask you a question. Would you invest your... Suppose that Dr. Colston here, suppose he started a Kool-Aid stand out here tomorrow morning. Outside, Kool-Aid stand. Or suppose you saw him with an ice cream thing. Nobody's going to get out in the cold weather and buy ice cream much. Would you invest in that or AT&T or Eastern Airlines or Hilton Hotel chain? You're going to invest in somebody who's already been successful. And I remember when I was a kid, I got a hold of this, and I had a little church in the country. I had four Sunday school teachers. That's all I had. But you know, we had a teaching meeting. We passed out a mimeograph sheet. Four people. Yeah, doesn't take long to turn that handle four times. Passed out a mimeograph sheet. Four people got them. Yeah. And I got up just like I do now. I said, this is God's business. Let's do it right. And same we do it now. You know why? I was trying to talk God into investing something in me. And if you'll let me say this, and I say it, it's as honest as I can be. Through these years, I've tried to keep myself worthy of God's investment. It's no accident that parking building down there was given to us. I want God to look down and say, I think I'll buy 14 shares of Heil's. Be a good investment. Lord looks down and says, "Okay, I see who's got a good stock. I want about 25 shares of Heil's that they're winning souls down there, and he is using what I gave him." Lord said, "I don't want to hide the word from you. I want to show it to you, but I can't show it to you because you don't use what I taught you a while ago." And then lastly, but so important, His wisdom. Sometimes somebody will say to me, and I think it's a little overdone. But sometimes somebody will say to Brother Hiles, "You're so wise." Now, I don't think that's true, but to whatever degree of wisdom I have, I'm going to show you how I got it. It's not stored, it's used. I get on my knees. I got on my knees last night about 6:28. I got on my knees in my office because I was counseling all night. And as I do every night before I counsel, I said, "Dear God, through that door right there, folks are going to walk all night long. And they've got burdens, and they've got problems, and they've got heartaches." And I said, "Dear God, I do not know in my own strength and wisdom. I don't know what to tell them, and I've got to have your help." And I said, "Lord, I'll promise you, if you'll teach me anything about your wisdom, I promise you I'll use it, and I'll give it out, and I won't try to hoard it, and I won't try to make it a Heil's truth only. I'll share it with everybody. You let me, please let me have..." And that little lady walked through the door last night who had cancer, taking chemotherapy treatments, and has four little children. She needed some help. And I said, "Oh, God, I've got to know what to tell her. And I've got to have wisdom." Well, you say, "Preacher, why does God hide it from me?" I'll tell you why. You never use what He gives you. You folks have wisdom galore. You've never taken 5 minutes to teach your kids what it is. And God said, "I can't have it. You can't have my word. You won't use it. If I gave it to you, you'd store it up, you'd hoard it. You can't have it." But if God can find somebody, say, "Lord, you teach me a truth," I'll do what I'll do. I'll throw it as far as I can throw it. I'll spread it as far as I can spread it. I'll spread it like you feed chickens. I'll just spread it. Truth, 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 truth. If somebody gets it and says it is, well, it won't bother me because it's not mine. You gave it to me anyhow. Somebody claims it. Somebody plagiarized one of my books. That doesn't bother me. If somebody got my books and stole the copyright and published them, could get more out than I did, I'd say, "Glory to God, let him have a stupid copyright. I don't care about a copyright. I'm interested in truth getting out." And the Lord says, "Okay, if you're going to spread it, I'll send it. I won't hide it from you anymore. And I'll say this, and I'm through. You're looking at a fella that has no right in this world to be standing in a pulpit this size. But God in heaven knows this is true. Mr. O'Clair, I don't know of anything I've learned I haven't tried to share." And then I'll open it up. I can remember on Saturday night at 11:30. I said, Lord, it's only 11 and a half hours before preaching time. There's got to be something in here. Lord, ain't there nothing in here for me? I'm 56 years old now. You know what I did last night? I said, Lord, which one? Which one? Which one? I didn't have trouble trying to find out what to preach on this morning. It's which one to use. Why? Because I'll tell you what. What I've got, you can have it. And the whole world can have it. And you can call it yours if you want to. I don't care. It's yours. Why? Because I'll bind you one thing. If I'll give it to you and share it, God says, I've got a heap of other jewels in here. I'll give you. And God said, I'll tell you my will. And I'll pull the curtain back and the hidden will, I'll reveal it to you if you'll just do what I said to. And the Lord said, I've got blessings up here. I don't want to hide from you, but I'll have to hide them until you use the ones I got. Now watch me. And that's it. That's why the Lord says, turn me down. The Lord says, I'll give you some more. But I'll bind you this. As long as you do this, you can do this. But you stop doing this, and God will stop doing this. And I'm talking to a heap of folks today. Money, blessings, the Word of God, truth, wisdom, the will of God. And here's what you're doing. And one of these days, God's going to say, you've got enough. I won't give you any more. The great secret to a happy life is. And as long as you do, it'll be here for you. And that's why God said this one fellow down, Abraham, he just won, that's all. But I'm not going to hide anything from him. I want to let him know what I plan to do. Father, bless the truth.